We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas, online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, with today's special guest host, Sparky Pfeiffer.
Love the music. Love the music. I've loved the music all day long. And I love talking to Jeff. He's the wise man in my life that I go to in time of need. Jeff, thanks for coming on. The last time you were telling me about places to go eat in Memphis that we had to go try out. And I now come to you with something of my own. So the kid had a state bowling tournament that he was in, 8 years old. First bowling tournament he's ever been in. And we drove hours to the state bowling tournament, and we're driving back from the state bowling tournament, kind of in the middle of nowhere to a certain degree, going 70 miles an hour on an interstate. There's a car in the slow lane kind of next to me. I'm in the middle lane in a used minivan I literally bought, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. Don't even have the title for it yet. And driving down the interstate. And the girl, she's sleeping on the window on a pillow. Kids playing PS4 on the little drop-down screen TV. The baby's sleeping in the car seat. And all of a sudden, wham! And everybody's like, what was that? And I look out the rearview mirror, and a deer had hit the side of the minivan and went flying back behind me down the interstate. So at the next exit, I pull off of the exit. Yeah. I get out and I look. It appears that a deer must have been hit by the guy in the slow lane. He must have hit him first, because the entire body of the deer sideswiped the side of my minivan, absolutely bent in the sliding door, the whole deal. I've never been through anything like it in my life. My heart was racing. I didn't know where I was. I was at a gas station, so I had to go inside, figure out where I was. They gave me the police number. You do the self fill out order or whatever else. Then you got to take it to a body shop. So I've been in a rental car since Monday. Waiting. The insurance person still hasn't gotten out there to look at the car yet.
It was still drivable.
I drove it all the way back. Yeah, I was like still 2.5 hours from home. So I ended up driving it home. Have you ever?
I've never been hit by. I've had car accidents of various types. Once I was hit in Birmingham. I was just going, minding my own business. I was driving through an intersection, and I was slammed into by a cop who was crossing against the light in pursuit and did not have his lights on. And so that was tough. That totaled that car. But I've never been hit by a deer. Now, if this were the Iditarod, you'd be forced to go back and, you know, gut the deer. You know, that's you'd have to go back. You didn't go check on the deer, did you? I bet you didn't go check on the deer.
No, the 8-year-old was very concerned about the deer. Dad, we got to go back and see if he's okay. I'm thinking to myself, that deer ain't okay, man. He just went flying behind the car.
The Iditarod, you've got to, I think it was a moose in the Iditarod this year, right? And the guy... Was it a moose? I think it was a moose. Yeah. And he ended up shooting the moose that tangled with his dog. But he was then... Oh, you didn't hear the story. Yeah. So in the rules of the Iditarod, if there is a moose death or whatever along the way, before you proceed, you have to clean the moose. You know, you have to... And that's part of the rules. And he did not do it adequately. And so he was penalized. This was still the eventual winner. I think his name might is no, it's not Butcher. Anyway, whoever won, it was the eventual winner. So then you're put in like the penalty box. You're forced to sit out a certain amount of time as a penalty, because he did actually chop up the moose, but not adequately. And so just be lucky you weren't in the Iditarod, because that would have been worse for you. But you do have deer collision insurance. You do, so it'll be. But I'm sure it'll be a there'll be a deductible. You're not going to get scot-free from this, right?
No, but the issue is this, Jeff. There's a chance that it could be totaled. I don't even have the title for the car yet, and the car's already totaled. Like, there's a, they said there's a legitimate chance it may be totaled based on how much damage is done versus how much the car is worth. Because if it's, if it's 70% or more.
What? First of all, I want to applaud you for getting a minivan. Not everybody has the inner fortitude and self-confidence that is required, like I had, to drive a minivan. My view has always been that there are people who will say, I never drive. If you are driving an SUV out there, you're not fooling me. You're a minivan person. You just have too much ego to actually be in a minivan. So like I have people will say, I don't want to be one of those minivan people. No. Right. If you're in a Tahoe or something else, you are a minivan person. You just have too much ego to actually put yourself in a minivan, because at doing what these cars do, which is transporting families, whatever, there is nothing like a minivan. Minivans are the best. They've got the sliding doors. They've got the aisle up the middle. Minivans are awesome. What kind of minivan was it?
Well, see, that's it? Just
I'm talking about it already.
Yeah, already past tense. Thank you very much.
What was it?
It was a 2013 Chrysler Grand Touring Town and Country. So the seats in the middle, they go underneath the floor for the stow and go. Yeah. It has the drop-down TV so the kid can watch DVDs. He had his PS4 plugged in.
You
he was watching that.
After my own heart, 2013 minivan. That's exactly the way you should live. Like, don't outspend your means.
Right.
Get a good used car that's at least a decade old. And your just misfortune was that you were run into by a deer. And, sometimes that happens. And particularly, when you're driving at night back from a bowling tournament. So that'll happen. Could happen to the best of us. And, but I do hope that insurance comes through for you.
Yeah, it was crazy. But that, as usual, you're always highly entertaining and funny, and I enjoy every time I get to talk to you. Okay, I want to pick your brain on this, because you're old school like me. We just talked about minivans and decade-old cars and so forth, so I want to see what you think. So NIL money in college is one thing. And now in Memphis, you have NIL money for high school kids, too. Then you have Jonte Porter, who made a couple million dollars in the NBA, risking the rest of his career, because now he's banned, risking the rest of his career for 20-some thousand dollars in winning, or whatever the heck it was, at that point, and acting like he's sick, he can't play, and all this other nonsense. And when you have high school kids, and I've got a junior, a lot of his friends gamble online and do all the stuff with the apps and all this other stuff and daily fantasy and whatever the case may be. They're already doing it in high school. And now you bring them into college. My thing is, if we're going to take NIL money for high school kids, what are we doing? Like, if you want to go to, you know, whoever it may be, Joe Brown, and say, hey, Joe, man, you are a great quarterback for our high school team, and we want to make sure we show you how much, we appreciate you and so forth. Here's $2,000. Instead of writing a check for $2,000 and giving it to Joe Brown, why don't they give him a $2,000 scholarship that goes towards college? Why not do that versus just writing a check? I'm all for NIL, but for high school, why do we have to give them money? Why can't you just award them scholarship money towards whatever school they want to go to?
Well, I think the easy answer is that, I mean, what we've seen certainly at the college level is the courts won't let you do that. Like, you can't, you are not in America allowed to set up restraints about what people can make. Period. And so entities can't get together. Now, if you are a particular school, like St. Lawrence High School, private school, and you don't want to give out NIL money, you only give out scholarships, that's fine. You can do that. But what you can't do, according to our antitrust laws, any more than if you are car manufacturers and you get together and you say, you know what, we're not going to pay any of our employees more than X. We're going to only pay them in Chick-fil-A coupons or something. Get together. You're not allowed to do that. That's our antitrust laws don't allow us to limit what people can make. And so while in some macro universe, your suggestion might make sense, like I haven't followed it closely, but I think that's what happened in Tennessee, is that in the end, the courts ruled that the NIL had to be available for high school kids. You couldn't step in and pass a regulation as a state entity saying NIL isn't available for high school kids. And so I like it. Fine. Now, of course, the other thing is everybody doesn't want to go to college in terms of scholarships. Some people, you know, they may not want to go to college, so the scholarship may not be worth much to them. But I think the larger point is that all these things that people come up with, like I heard Nick Saban, I think, saying there should be a cap. You know, yeah, we should have an NIL, but there should be a cap on it in every school. You're not allowed to do that. it's against the law. You can do it if you call them employees and have a collective bargaining agreement, and they agree to it in the course of a collective bargaining agreement, because that creates the exception. There is an exception to antitrust regulations because we want people to collectively bargain. And so therefore, if something's collectively bargained, you can do something that would be otherwise not illegal under antitrust regulations. But that's the simple reason. I think your suggestion makes all the sense in the world. It's just not legal.
You know? But this is where it comes from. Let me tell you the basis of where it comes from. So I said I got a junior in high school, right? So he played baseball, travel baseball, all the way up and through. And he has no scholarship money. He has no money. Zero. Zilch. None.
Right.
I have this 8-year-old who I just told you about that just bowled in his first state bowling tournament. In the city bowling tournament, he made $150 in scholarship money. In his bowling league, he made somewhere around $200 in scholarship money. He qualified for a Pepsi regional tournament. He made $25 there, and I don't know if he'll place. And then for the state tournament, depending on where he places, he can make even more scholarship money at 8. And he can make scholarship money all the way up and through his senior year of high school if he continues to bowl. You make no scholarship money playing football. You make no scholarship money playing baseball or basketball or anything else. I think golf maybe is another sport where you can earn scholarship money from a young age. If money is such a big deal and such a thing, then fine. Then why not say, okay, if you make the playoffs, if your team is in the playoffs... Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think, in the state of Tennessee, I don't think it would be against the law for people to say you get scholarship money if you come here. I'm not that familiar with the regulations.
But not even if you come here. Just say if you win. So if you win the state championship.
I don't think there would be anything wrong with that either. I don't think that is against the law. I don't think there's anything prevents it. I think you're just looking at the quirks of particular sports in the area where your kids live. But
I'm saying this in general. If we're worried about paying kids, you have an avenue of how you can help these kids already.
Right,
and to your point, maybe they all don't use it.
But that's true. But what I'm telling you is that you also want to say you can't actually play the kids. And what I'm telling you is preventing people from giving cash money to kids that they can spend on anything they want, video games, FanDuel. Of course, again, I'm technically allowed to enter FanDuel.
Right,
you're not allowed to not do that. It is interesting though. One of the stories I was reading today is, and this hadn't occurred to me, it makes all the sense in the world. So in college sports, has typically been there's a scholarship limit, right? You have an 85, whatever it is, 85 scholarship limit, I think is what it is for football right now, right? What is the meaning of a scholarship limit when you have NIL money that can be $3 million, right? In other words, so let's say you recruit a quarterback. He's the number one quarterback in the country. And you say, you know what? We're not going to give you a scholarship, which is whatever, you know, 20 grand a year. But we are going to give you $1 million a year, right? And we'll actually make it $1,000,020 in NIL money. What is the meaning of a scholarship limit anymore? Like there is no meaning. You can have players who make dramatically more as quote unquote walk-ons. NIL completely demolishes the idea of a scholarship limit. It used to be, well, you have 24 players this year in this year's class. Now, because there's no limit to how many people you can give NIL money to, it's the whole this quaint idea of a scholarship limit has also kind of gone by the wayside.
That's
it is a absolutely changing universe in all kinds of ways that I don't think people have anticipated. But the problem is that, I mean, it's every day it feels like someone comes up to me and they shake their head and they say, man, NIL and the transfer portal is ruining sports. And I kind of agree. Like, it is, it makes it, well, one reason why women's basketball was so much more compelling than men's basketball is because we know.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So the characters, right? And we know the characters because they stayed in one place, basically, right? And they stay in school for a long time, and they have tended to stay at one place, although now that's changing in women's basketball as well. So I do agree it takes a lot of the fun out of being a college sports fan, just like once upon a time I thought free agency took a lot of the fun out of being a pro sports fan. Like, I once upon a time could tell you that, you know, name the Dodgers infield and the Yankees
for
infield.
Sure.
But now
yep.
It all, like, but in the end, the laws aren't created for my fun or your fun or college sports fun. Like, in the end, when you apply to the law to, are we really allowed to tell 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds that they can't make as much money as they want because we're just going to label them amateurs? And therefore, you're not allowed to do that. And that's what people are grappling with. And there's no way of getting it, of putting the toothpaste back in the tube.
The reason I brought
it
up the...
It would be like, there's no way of undenting your car. I guess there's more of it. It's easier to undent your car than it is to put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Not bringing the deer back either, Jeff.
You're not bringing the deer back to life, no.
No, I'm not going to do that either. Jeff Coggins joins us here. Make sure you check him out 9 to 11 a.m. weekdays right here on 929 ESPN Memphis. The reason I went down that path the way I did with the high school NIL money, because, again, if you are gambling and if you are doing that stuff type deal, now to give this kid another $1,000, here, have fun. Here's $2,000. And then they get to whatever pro sport they're going on, and they're already got themselves in that habit. As I was thinking about this the other day, it's like, how much really is there going on at the high school level about gambling and gambling awareness and so forth? You know, you have rookie symposiums in pro sports, and that's a one-time deal. And then after that, you're off on your own, and right. Here's a 20-some-year-old money with millions and millions of dollars. And go ahead, go do what you want. We don't expect anything bad to happen, which is completely insane to think that's not going to happen, that they're not going to waste a ton of their money in the process. I just don't feel like there's enough education at this point, considering how big gambling has become when you are at that high school level. It almost should be almost, I don't know. I don't know if it's a class that everybody should have to take in high school or whatever, but there needs to be more education to these kids when they're in high school before you get further in life. To understand really, you know, the ramifications and how this all works.
Yeah, it's interesting. I raised kids who were, you know, it was about 10 years ago that my kids were in the sweet spot of middle school and high school and whatever. My kids are now all college age or beyond. I think whether it's gambling or anything else, what is available online is kind of stunning, the trouble one can get into online. The postings that you can put as a stupid 13-year-old who, you know, that'll come back to haunt you when you're 24. Whether it's predators who are online, whether it's gambling online, whether it's what porn online, whether like the whole world is out there and online for you to explore and get. And I don't think, I think a lot of parents, you know, the problem is that parenting is hard. And so when we're, hell, at this point, when they're four, we put machines in their hands, right?
Yep.
And say, here, do that machine instead of,
for sure.
And I think we are raising I don't think that's particularly productive. I mean, I've talked to I've talked to teachers recently. I was talking to teachers just this week about how kids don't even look at you in the eye anymore because they're just really used to just looking down at their machines. They don't relate as well to the actual world because they relate so much to just to their machines. And then if you do something like push back and say, when in school, you have to put your machine, you know, you have to put your phone in a pouch, right? Like, let's say you're not allowed to have your phone when you go into English class. There's little pouches that you have to put your phone in so you don't have access to it. Because if you have access to it, that's all you're going to be really paying attention to is what's on your phone, right? Then what happens is they get pushback because parents say, well, what if there's a school shooting?
Right.
I want to know that my kid has a phone. So because we have created this one horrible terror, which is school shooting, it runs into our attempts to have any kind of control over, another pernicious force, which is people's phone addictions. And I think it's really hard, given all this. I mean, I there's no question that gambling is an issue, but I think it's the whole universe being available on your phone, and it is, and it is the fact that people then relate more to whatever the hell it is happening on the phone than they do to the actual world around them. And, you know, I think it's having a really unfortunate impact, and we will see that more and more. We've already seen it. Suicide rates are up, yes, gambling is one thing, but I think it's a larger struggle.
He's the best, Jeff Calkins. Check him out 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays right here on 929 ESPN Memphis. And, of course, right here at this time each and every day on the Gabe Coon Show. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
See ya. Yep.
You betcha. Take care. There is Jeff Calkins again, 929 ESPN Memphis. Take a quick timeout, come back. Other side, it's been a while. Last time I was on here, it was in the fall, filling in for Gabe Coon, and we were talking about Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, and oh my, things changed. We'll talk more about that coming up next.
Appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Coon Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. With today's special guest host, Sparky Pfeiffer.
Hey, I'm telling you, I love talking to Jeff Calkins. I could do that every day and be completely happy. I would assume Gabe Coon probably looks forward to that segment every single day that he does. Like, it's so much fun. And Kyler and I were talking about it in the break. Literally, you could just give Jeff any topic. Just pick something. I'm pretty sure he could make it entertaining and funny and have you laughing each and every time. So good. So, so good. Okay, let's talk about the Tennessee Titans. Not so good. Not so good. Not like Jeff. Not so good. So, last fall when I was on filling in for Gabe, we were obviously in football season and so forth. And if memory serves correct, I was lobbying hard to, why are we screwing around with Ryan Tannehill?
Right.
Just let Will Levis play, for God's sakes. What are we doing here? Quit screwing around with this. Well, eventually Will Levis finally did get to play. And Will Levis, that first game was, woo, baby. Okay, well, we got something here. And then after that, he looked a little bit more like a rookie, I guess, kind of going forward. And now here you sit in this draft, and a lot of what I see to Tennessee in this draft is Joe Alt, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame, which obviously makes sense if, you know, Tennessee's able to get him. But they drafted Skoronski last year, and instead of playing him at tackle, they determined that he would be better inside at guard. And he had some, appendix burst or something like that earlier in the year, I think. And then he played better in the second half of the year at the guard position. This is my thing. Hey, Connor, you tell me. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I watch every single Titans game, because that would be a lie, and I'm not going to lie. Do you think one of these quarterbacks in the first round or multiple guys in the first round here might be better than what you have in Will Levis? Where if you're Tennessee, do you consider or think of trying to get up into the top three, maybe to that third spot with the Patriots, who apparently are open for business if they get the right deal, to take a Drake May or somebody in that spot?
Ooh, that's a tough question. To be quite honest, I think that Will Levis, you know, he convinced me last year during that run that he had that he's got a shot to be something in the NFL. So to be quite honest, I actually really like the idea of Joe Alt being the pick so he could have a, you know, a good offensive line. And the Titans went out this offseason and, you know, they're bringing in Tony Pollard and they signed Calvin Ridley and, you know, they're going to have DeAndre Hopkins. So I think that they're trying to have an offense that can pop next year because the last few years it's been, you know, they've been struggling on the offensive end. The defense has been kind of carrying them. And then you've had the workhorse and Derrick Henry. So it's going to be a new look Titans. And I think what we've learned in the NFL the past few seasons is that you've got to protect these young quarterbacks because you can't really see what they are if they're running for their life the entire time. So even though I think some of the quarterbacks in this draft, it being one of the best quarterback drafts we've had in a while, may have more potential than Will Levis, I think it would be a little bit too much of a risk if you jumped in and tried to grab one of those guys over just taking Joe Alt.
I like Alt. I have no problem with that pick if that's the pick that they determined to do. However, offensive line is relatively deep this year.
Sure.
So if you decide I'm going to wait on an offensive tackle, maybe it's not a premier left tackle, maybe you end up with a right tackle, whatever, you could probably still do that at the top of the second round, or maybe you move back into the bottom of one to get an offensive lineman later. I'm struggling with the idea of if Odunze is there, the wide receiver from Washington. If Malik Nabers, I don't think he'll be there, but if Malik Nabers, the wide receiver from LSU, is there, you're going to pass on that for an offensive tackle? I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is old. I by NFL standards, he's been around. He's taking a beating. I don't think I can pass on a premier wide receiver. And yes, there are a lot of wide receivers in this draft. I know it's deep, but I think the elite ones are literally up there at the top, right? So you're talking Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Odunze. I think those are the top three. Then there's probably a drop-off to Brian Thomas Jr. And the kids from Texas, those two wide receivers from Texas. So Worthy and Mitchell. I think that's where it is. If those one of those two wide receivers fall to you, Nabers or Odunze, for some whatever the reason may be, I think Odunze more likely than Nabers, would you do that over the offensive tackle in Joe Alt?
If Odunze drops, yeah, or Nabers drops, I would probably have to think about it. The reason, though, the main reason I think the Titans are going to stick with a tackle or an offensive lineman with that pick, though, is because, you know, last year they were one of the worst lines in the NFL. They signed Lloyd Cushenberry in the offseason to take over at center. But the biggest thing is they brought in Brian Callahan to be the head coach, and he is an offensive line guy. So you know that that's his bread and butter.
Well, that's because it's his dad.
I would just be shocked if he didn't take a lineman in this draft, because they've already, I know that DeAndre Hopkins is older, but he could still be that safety blanket for a guy like Will Levis. And they do have Calvin Ridley. You got DeAndre Hopkins. Treylon Burks hasn't worked out, but he's still got some potential there if he can stay healthy out there. So I think that they want to see what that looks like too. They also have Chig as a tight end. So I think that they're set on targets right now. If one of those receivers drop, I think they'll have to take a second and think about it. But ultimately, I would be shocked if they don't take a lineman at 7.
But he brought his dad in, right? So he's going to be the offensive line coach. Bill Callahan's the offensive line coach, right?
Right.
Then I don't need a waste of pick at 8. I'm done. I've changed my mind completely. I don't want Joe Alt. No. How about this? What if Brock Bowers will be there? If Brock Bowers, a tight end from Georgia, is sitting there at 8, who's going to be a mismatch galore of guys trying to deal with him, when he's running patterns. So then it's Bowers, Ridley, and Hopkins to give Will Levis some weapons. Is that something you consider? Because now that you think about Callahan, he's one of the best offensive line coaches we've seen in the National Football League. So to think that I can give him an offensive lineman in the second round, I give him an offensive lineman in the fourth round, and he'll take both of those guys and turn them into at least probably decent starters, because he has to be involved in the evaluation process. I mean, you're not drafting offensive linemen without Bill Callahan watching some tape here and giving his you know, 2 cents on who he likes, who he doesn't like, why he likes him, why he doesn't like him. If they're not having him watch film of guys they're considering, then they're fools, because he should be involved in this process, especially if you decide, you know, we're going to draft, you know, 3 offensive linemen in this draft. We need to fix this problem. He has to be involved. But now that you know you have him, it's kind of like when you have a great quarterback, right? You have Patrick Mahomes. Do you really need to draft wide receivers in the first round? Or can you take wide receivers in the second or third round because Patrick Mahomes is going to make him better? Andy Reid is going to scheme him up to be better. And we don't need to waste first round picks because you have an elite quarterback. That, to me, is the same thing as when you have a great offensive line coach, you don't have to go all out. Now, again, if you think Joe Alt is a Hall of Famer at left tackle, like you, Hall of Famer, not, oh, yeah, he could be a Pro Bowler probably, but if you think he's Anthony Munoz, the old Bengal, or somebody like that, a legit stud left tackle, okay, fine, I guess, then you go down that route. But for me, I want to get as many weapons as possible for Will Levis going forward. I want him to not have to worry about any type of, man, these guys aren't getting open, I can't find anybody, nobody can get separation. I don't want that to be an issue at any point. And Calvin Ridley, you know, was suspended for the league for gambling with the Falcons. Then he goes to Jacksonville, and they don't bring him back. And he comes here for a crazy amount of money, which I think they way overpaid Calvin Ridley.
They definitely overpaid.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Way overpaid him. But why did they overpay him? Because they were desperate. They wanted to provide weapons for him. But if you were thinking with your head, front office, you wouldn't have done that. Why? Why would I do that for? This draft is loaded with wide receivers. Tight end, not so much. But wide receivers, they're loaded. You could have taken an offensive lineman later in the draft, taken Bowers, if that's the only weapon that fell to you at 8, and gone that route. Or moved back from 8, added another second-round pick, and then taken a wide receiver like Brian Thomas Jr. with 1 pick, came back in the second round, got a tackle, and then with that other pick, taken another wide receiver to go along with DeAndre Hopkins. That's how it should have been done, instead of wasting money foolishly on Calvin Ridley. Now, again, hopefully he plays well, right? Hopefully he lives up to the contract, but it seemed like a big overpay because they were desperate to find somebody to help Will Levis.
Yeah, it was definitely an overpay, and I think the reason they took the risk on it was the Titans understand that they're not in a championship or even contending territory right now. They are in a, we have to figure out what Will Levis is, so we're going to overpay for a guy that we know has production when he's actually playing that he can throw to give him a weapon. And when you look at the Titans' cap situation, they're just not going to have to pay anybody coming up anytime soon, so they had some extra money to spend. I also think that the new regime is trying to, you know, make a splash and just be scrappy next year. I'd be shocked if they win, you know, more than 8 games, if they even get to 8. So I totally understand the arguments for bringing in a wide receiver to help out Will Levis, but that's what I think. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that with their second round pick. You know, Xavier Worthy has been one of those guys from Texas who has been, you know, rumored to maybe be a Titans target with their pick at 38. And, you know, he would kind of fit that speedster guy. A lot of people compare him to Zay Flowers. So I think that might be a target in their second round. I'm just telling you, I think that from what we watched last year with the Titans, Will Levis was having to run for his life most of the time. So I would just be shocked if they don't get a tackle to get in there. And, you know, hey, Joe Alt, his dad's in the Chiefs Hall of Fame, so maybe he'll end up in the Titans Hall of Fame.
What about if the Titans traded up to 4 to take Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I mean, yeah, I'm all for that. Yeah, if you can get Marvin Harrison Jr., that'd be fantastic. Because,
man,
like you said, it is a deep... It's a really deep tackle draft. Like, it's not,
yes.
Joe Alt's probably the best of the bunch, but you could still get a very good tackle later in the first round or early in the second.
I mean, him and Fashano, the kid from Penn State, are probably the two best left tackle prospects. And a lot of these other guys are probably right tackles, you know, in the league, right? Mims played 8 games at Georgia, been hurt a ton. Maybe he's athletic enough to play left tackle eventually, but that's not where you're going to start him. He's going to start at right tackle. Tyler Guyton, another big offensive lineman, he's a right tackle. I don't think he plays left tackle at any point. So the kid at Washington, you know, who could be a tackle or a guard. So maybe that's another possibility. You look around the league and you look around teams that have been highly successful over the course of time. If you look back to Manning and the Colts, he had Marvin Harrison. He had Reggie Wayne. He had Marshall Faulk, Joseph Addai. He had all of these weapons. Bill Polian always, always made sure he had enough weapons on offense to keep him happy and able to do his job. That was just always a thing. And That has to be the mentality with Will Levis if you're going to give him a fair shot. Because if Hopkins can't stay healthy and can't stay on the field, and if really doesn't pan out, you're stuck.
Yeah, you're stuck. You are.
You're stuck. If Tony Pollard's nice, okay. But, I mean, that's as far as I'm going with Tony Pollard is nice.
Yeah, we got a lot of love for Tony here in Memphis. But, yeah, you're right.
Maybe. But he didn't live up to expectations. Ezekiel Elliott was gone in Dallas last year. And what happened?
Yeah.
Where did he go? I mean, he is a good secondary piece. But he clearly does not look like he is the main event. He looks like, you know, he's the secondary guy to the big beast running back that goes along with it. Now, if you still have Derrick Henry and then Pollard's the other guy.
Sure.
Okay, well, I feel better about that. I feel pretty good about that. And the other thing, too, is, and I don't know how this played at Tennessee. I'm sure there was heartbreak, you know, that Derrick Henry isn't a member of the Titans anymore. But like I was saying in the last hour about Steph Curry, at some point, it's got to be about you. And Curry has rings and Henry doesn't, but you can be mad at Derrick Henry for wanting to have a chance to go win a ring somewhere. It sucks that he stayed in the AFC to go to Baltimore, but clearly you have to understand where his head was at and what he's trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I don't think there's any love lost for Derrick Henry. It was one of those situations where the fan base understood it was time for Derrick Henry to go try to win a ring because he can't do it here in Tennessee anymore. And he gave us so many amazing years of football. So that's why in his last game it was pretty emotional, because I think the fan base and he knew that the time of his time in Tennessee was coming to an end. And that's why a lot of Tennessee fans, because it is one of those seasons in which there is an understanding that the Titans are not going to be able to contend. They're going to be a fun, scrappy team that might win a couple games that they're not supposed to. But I do think that a majority of Titans fans, oddly enough, are going to be rooting for Baltimore because they want Derrick Henry to get that ring. It's very reminiscent of when Mike Conley and Marc Gasol moved on from the Grizzlies and Mark went to the Raptors. Everybody in Memphis became a Toronto Raptors fan because we were like, we want one of our guys to get a ring. That's kind of what it reminds me of with Derrick Henry.
We're going to take a quick timeout. I want to come back on the other side. And I have a very, very, very pressing question that I need answered. How are we staying happy through all of what's going on in sports right now in Memphis? How do we keep a smile on our face? There's really not a lot of happy stuff going on that we talk about, the Grizzlies. That's been horrible. We talk about the Titans. It's going to be horrible there for a while. We haven't even talked about college sports, and we're just talking about the pro teams. It's not been pretty. So how do you smile every day when you talk about sports? It feels depressing. We'll talk to Connor about that up next. 929 ESPN Memphis, Gabe Kuhn Show. See Sparky Pfeiffer filling in.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.